بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت تنوي صاحب رحمة الله عليه says some friend of his had to meet up with a Naqshbandi sheikh, popular alim, well known. So after the formal meeting, he asked him that, do you make some zikr and ashal, etc.? He said, yes, I do make some zikr, etc. And then he asked that, after making the zikr and ashal, do you see anything? Any light or anything from the unseen? Do you observe anything? He said, no. He said, well, then keep acquiring the sawab, but you will make no progress. Mawlana heard this, he said, I got a shock when he said something to this effect. I got a shock. Because whatever we do it for sawab. We do it for the return. The return in the hereafter is called sawab. Like whatever we do here, we do it for money, right? And the money here is called riyal, rupee, rand, whatever else, right? So that riyal or rupee or rand, whatever, or dirham, that will transform into a building, property, home, or other comforts. But the currency that is used is the currency that we speak about, and the currency of the hereafter is sawab. So Mawlana says that when I heard this answer from him, I was amazed, I was shocked. Okay, he's so well known, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know what is the essence of the tasawwuf. Because the essence of the tasawwuf, the whole the struggle, the effort that you go through is for your correction, right? And the correction, the criteria for the correction is the sunnah. So you're doing all this what? To correct yourself. And what is the gauge that you are correct, that you are conforming to the sunnah? Then the zikr and ashghal that you do, maybe you're shaking your head, or whatever the other type of zikr that you make, that is just to strengthen this, just to motivate you, strengthen this, and get you, it's a support, it's a help. It's not the actual goal, but it is something that will help you to come there. In life, you get this. One is the actual thing that you are trying to achieve, and one is something that will support you to come there. Like when you sit to eat, right? So the actual thing is the nourishment. So the nourishment is what? Meat, maybe a little bit of rice or some carbs, right? Maybe the proteins, maybe the vitamins, this is the actual thing. So this is the actual thing that you use to gain body mass, nourishment, and nutrition. By the way, you may just eat a little bit of achar, mango achar, lemon achar. So why do you eat lemon achar or mango achar? Why do you eat that? Mara sauce wala. Why do you eat that? Why do you eat that? You thought why you eat achar or that? Why? Just to create a little bit more hunger, isn't it? To push that thing down and to make you feel eat more. That means you're eating that to help you to eat. Right. See, anything sour that is used in food is used for what? It's used to help you to eat more. See, like you take a sour sour thing, like an orange, right? If you eat an orange whilst you're eating, how you'll feel? You'll feel like eating more, won't you? One, two slices of oranges when you're eating, or a lemon. So what does that do? It enhances your eating. So one is the actual thing, and one is something that has come to help you, to support you to get there. Right? So people confuse the both. The help becomes the objective, and the objective has been forgotten, it's lost. You forgot. Like, for example, you need to go for Shab Guzari, Hilal, right? So what is the objective? The objective is Hilal, right? But you can't just go like that. You'll need a motor car or something to take you there. So the motor car is what? The motor car is the help to take you there. It is important. Without the motor car, you can't reach there. Other than someone is living right in the vicinity of Hilal, he doesn't need it. But you're living here, then you need help to reach there. Right? But if someone makes the car and the vehicle the actual goal, then what you'll say? He's lost the plot. He's worried about the car. Hold. Yeah. He's given his 40 days. In the 40 days, what he's concerned about? About the car. What you'll say? Well, he's lost it. So the car was just a help, an assistant to bring you there. So the same zikr, ashghal, etc., whatever is used, it's used to bring you there, to bring you, to support you there, to strengthen you, to support you, to help you, to encourage you. Right? In the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram, in the first encounter, first meeting, they were already there, they already reached, as though they were already in Hilal, they were already in the Baytullah, they were already there in that first encounter. So they had been fully charged. So the day they met him, and then they were conforming to the Sunnah, the Islah was done. And whatever is being told to them, they're doing it straight. They're still growing, and day by day, the teachings of Islam is also just coming in. So as the teachings are coming in, they are progressing. Right? So there is no resistance on their side. But it's being told, they are doing it straight away. So the actual goal is Islah. And the gauge that your Islah has been done is the conformity to the Sunnah. So the Sunnah is the benchmark, that's the gauge. And all this that is being used is used just to help you to bring you there. Now, sometimes you don't understand this, then that becomes the important thing. This becomes the secondary thing. Like you said, you read a Fajr namaz. He slipped up. Your zikr, you did? Yeah, no, zikr, I did it. But the zikr was supposed to be helping you to do your faraiz. Right? So you became so particular about the zikr, the ma'mulat, and you forgot that you need to do the faraz, etc. Right? So this whole program is set up for what? To bring you to the Sunnah. Now, the Sunnah sometimes are overlooked. Small. They considered, they are counted as something small, irrelevant. Na'uzubillah. It must be that every Sunnah must be taken seriously. Right? So now, say for example, you are going to the toilet. So now you're conscious, see, that I'm going to the toilet, so this is how I need to go with the left. I need to read this dua. Then when I'm in the toilet, then I will only undress as I reach the ground. As I reach the ground, then I will undress. So these are about the 3-4 sunnats that you will practice as you have gone into the toilet. Going on the left, read the dua, then you will undress as you have reached the ground. Right? That was the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it's a lesson to us. A lesson for us in this whole sunnah, this whole 3 sunnahs that I've shown you, is that you will undress when you've come closer to the ground. Not while you're standing. You took your trousers, became nanga baranga, That's not the right way. So now, that means the Sharia wants you to be remaining dressed. So say, for example, you are in the confines of your home. Can you wear your boxer shorts and run around everywhere? Wear your knicker and walk around? Can't. When the Sharia is saying, even in the toilet, then too, you don't just undress. You go close to the ground, and then when there's a need now, you remove your clothing, and then you what is whatever you're supposed to be doing, right? So that person is now understood the hadith, he understood the whole purpose, and his direction is right. Then he's coming out of the toilet. So if this zikr, etc., is taking him in that direction, then he's going in the right direction. But if he considered this to be the actual goal, and this to be by the way, then he's missed the plot. Like I say, the actual goal was to go to Hilal. And then he's worried more about his car. Whole time worried about the car. What do you say? He missed the plot. The actual figure was spend the time, 40 days, how to spend it, what's the route, what's the mulaqat, how do you spend your time whilst you're out in the bath of Allah Ta'ala, what you do in the morning, afternoon, evening, how should you plan your whole time. That was the actual goal. Now, in place of all that, now he's worried about the car. What do you say now? See, you lost the plot. We didn't have to learn about cars here. We came about learning the work. So you come here to learn the work, to correct yourself, to rectify yourself. And in the previous days I was speaking about the goals that you have to achieve. Then I spoke about the three faculties Allah Ta'ala has blessed you, right? Blessed you with temptation, anger, or call it emotions, right? And number three is intelligence, right? So everybody has been blessed with these three faculties. And to get all three, get it right, get it rightly balanced, that is the maqsad, that's the whole purpose, right? Emotions, first I said shahwa, temptation, right? Temptation, you got it balanced. So there's no imbalance. That means you're not misusing it, and you're not forsaking it. To forsake it, say, I'm not going to use temptations at all. Absolutely no temptation. Then that's called monasticism. And Islam rejects that. But there's no such a thing like monasticism. You will use it. But use it with the right balance. So there's going to be a lot of things tempting. Woman will be one thing. Food will be tempting. Wealth will be tempting. Cars, sports, everything will be tempting, right? But now how do you get the balance? So that balance is called the sunnah. Right. You can call it modesty, you can call it shame. So that balance is called the sunnah. See that? And another word for that sunnah is called modesty. Right. In wealth it will be contentment. So in woman it will be modesty, and in wealth it will be called contentment. So say for example, you need everything, but you haven't yet got the contentment of the heart. Then you're not on the mark. You make all the zikr, everything. Still saying, hey, there's one property I still need to get. You know, I got everywhere else, but I didn't get something in Japan. I must get in Tokyo. You know, Tokyo, Japan, I must get there. So you say, no, you haven't got the sunnah as yet. You don't have that contentment of the heart. You got the contentment of the heart, you got it right. You don't have the contentment of the heart, so you're not taught. So in woman, it will be modesty. In wealth, it will be contentment. Contentment, what is the essence of contentment? That I'm happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah decided for me, I'm very happy, I don't need more. Why I don't need more? I've got enough to see to my needs, to my family and to my wife. I've got enough now, I don't need to worry about 50 years, 100 years, and the great-grandchild is going to come, what he's going to do. I don't have to worry about that. Because as I came in, right, then I didn't have much structures, and Allah Ta'ala seen me. Right. My child will come in, and the same path he'll follow, and so forth, and so on, he'll continue. So I must say, stress unnecessarily. I'm happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. What Allah has given, I'm happy. So that's contentment, that's where it will bring you to. Otherwise, it will be just a chase, just going in a circle. So you have missed the sunnah, you see. So this missing the sunnah, sometimes it will amount to greed, sometimes immodesty, right? Greed, sometimes immodesty. Sometimes that greed can come up in aspiring, and sometimes in asking. Right? I need this wealth, I'll ask you, right? I need this. So that asking sometimes is verbal, and then asking sometimes is in the mind, you're asking. But you're not asking the person straight, you're asking him in a very sophisticated way. In a very sophisticated way, you're asking. So I see, you got this jacket now. I don't have a jacket. It's a smart jacket. Eh? What do you paid for it? So I know your tabiat is such that you're a very generous person, right? So I praise the jacket that you're wearing. It's a pretty smart one. How's it expensive? Yeah. So then I say, I don't know if I can ever, I'll ever be able to have the pleasure of wearing this thing here. So I asked you. I didn't ask you. I just said, well, I know, I wonder if I have ever have the comfort to wear this. No, I didn't mean that. And then that person will pass it on. Now, if you are going to be talking like that, then you don't have the contentment. That means you're not on the sunnah as yet. So the sunnah will require modesty. Modesty means that you are not flirting. You're not fantasizing, what? You're not flirting. One is flirting straight, right? Flirt. And one is fantasize, right? Fantasize, how you must remember the word? From fanta, right? Remember fanta, you know, fantasize, right? So you don't flirt. You don't flirt, you don't fantasize. Now the flirting can happen in a lot of ways. Not in one way, a lot of ways. Right? Now, say for example, someone's wife is sitting in the back, or some woman is sitting in the back seat. You're sitting in the front seat, and your friend, Mr. Ismail, and you, both of you are driving, and you're on the front seat, so she's in the back seat. Right? So now, the chore of the nafs, Allah Pak knows, the thief Allah Pak knows. So now, how are you going to flirt? So you'll give an exciting story. Hey, you know what happened? So you'll come out like a bravo. I did this. But what's your intention? Intention that she must listen. Right. So that flirting will happen in different ways. It doesn't have to happen in one single way. Right. Now, for example, you're doing kurbani at home, right? Kurbani at home, goat, sheep, and some cow. So now you can see now the women are sitting on the top and they're watching, right? When they're watching now, you know, come out, take out your shirt and put your kurbani suit, your jacket and your boots and all that. You're going after that thing. So this discreet things, Allah Pak is watching what you're doing. He knows. You're impressing this so-and-so kala and so-and-so gori. You're impressing them. So Allah Pak knows all these things. See. You think that nobody knows about it, nobody will discover. Allah Pak knows about it. You're trying to show your bravery, you're trying to show your strength, you're trying to impress through your words. In different ways you can do all these things. The previous people were such, it was easy to work with them. In this whole Islam process, an important thing is just do it. What the Buzur told you, just do it. Don't even ask. Don't say why. Like Mawli Hussein's dada, his name was Yaqub Bhai, right? So about 63 or 64, he went for Hajj. So around that time, Hazrat Mawla Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was stationed in Madina Munawwara. So they would go there, learn some things from him, and carry on. So until then, he was a little bit stylish. Right? But now, when the So he's here or something. So what is this? Take this out. From after Hajj, I remember no hair yet. Little short hair, maybe that, what they call it, 4 knot or something, 2 knot or 4 knot. He saw a ring in his finger. So What is full of the ring? After that, he never wore a ring. 63 until he passed away, 78, right? But there was the first and the last. But now see how easy it is to work with such people, one time and last time. Buzung said it, do it. So he's taken it and he made that his life. I said, do you use a miswak? No, I don't use a miswak. At that time, I know the miswak only came in vogue in about 65, 67. Before, there was no miswak. He's talking about 63. Then, till he passed away, he stuck for the miswak. See, he learned something, and he remained like that right till he passed away. See that? Now, to work with such people, it's a beauty, it's ease, it's just a breeze in the park. You just told him one time, and oh, he's done it. See? Once, and that's the last lesson. Now, you don't have to be behind that person all the time. You don't have to be with him. The beard came in his life, his hair came right, the ring came out, miswak came in, and right till the end, that kurta was there, right till the end. Right till the end. See? So, how beautiful it is to work with such people. Right? You understand? All right. This is the mansha, this is the instruction we're receiving from above, so we must just do that. So, how beautiful it is to work. So, I explained that the sunnah now, see the sunnah, one is modesty. Let's tell you what is modesty. Not to flirt, not to fantasize. Flirting is one thing and fantasizing is something else. And both are harm, both are impermissible. Now flirting is something that is done, it's expressed, it's manifest, right? It's flirting. I show you the different ways. Right? That's flirting and that's something that is visible. Something that you can see, that's flirting, right? But fantasizing is not visible always. It's not always visible. It's in the mind. Right? So you're not flirting and you're not fantasizing. You're not flirting and you're not fantasizing. You see, many a times, you don't have the happiness of the heart. You feel clumsy, lousy, miserable. You don't feel the fulfillment. There can be many causes for this. But one cause is that the heart or the eyes is in sin. Now how does it relate? See, hadith says that Al-Khalqu Iyalullah, mankind is the children of Allah Ta'ala. Mankind is the child of Allah Ta'ala. So that's hadith. That mankind is the child of Allah. Famous, very famous, popular hadith. Now say it is your wife, it's your child, and someone is fantasizing or is trying to look at her, even though she's got an abaya, but he wants he's admiring her from through the abaya. It's your wife, or it's your daughter, or it's your sister, but he's trying to catch your attention. What will happen to you? What will happen? To the normal person, what happens to you? You'll lose it, right? You'll get into a rage. Right? What's wrong with this person here? He doesn't know it's my wife. He doesn't know it's my daughter. So he'll get into a rage. The normal person, this will happen. Now look at this hadith which is saying that the creation is the child of Allah Ta'ala. You get so terribly worked up if someone is interfering with your child, then how will Allah Ta'ala be when he sees that you are interfering with one of his children? How will Allah Ta'ala take it? Should, if you get so upset and you get so disturbed, if someone is starting off your wife or is starting off with your daughter, then how will Allah Ta'ala ever take it? Understand? So like you will get upset, then Allah Pak also will not like it. So if Allah Ta'ala is displeased, can you ever be happy then? See, the happiness is not your own achievement. It is from Allah Ta'ala. أَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. He brings grief, he brings happiness. So now, happiness is his property. But you have displeased him, can you ever be happy? Can you ever be happy? So now the eyes went wrong, and now you broke the link with Allah Ta'ala. Now He's not happy with you. Now you're feeling lousy, clumsy. I don't feel the satisfaction. I don't feel fulfillment. I don't feel happiness. At home, I don't feel right. I got everything, but I don't feel nice. The business, I don't feel nice. Why is it? But the way it started off with this. Now, you didn't correct it. You're doing everything, making zikr, all that. But you're not coming to the sunnah. The sunnah is modesty. So until you haven't come to the sunnah, then your islah, reformation is incomplete. You see? It's incomplete. See that? So I started off today with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Understand what's the goal here. And then what is the support? You see, this is a support base and this is the goal. This is a support, this is the goal. Now don't consider the support to be useless. You need the support. Sometimes the support is quite important. Otherwise, most people can't get driven. Like I say, you don't have a car. Can you go to Hilal? Can't. Right? Though the car was just a support, but can you do without it? Right? The obligation was the Hajj, right? But in order to fulfill the obligation, you need a transport, be it an aeroplane, whatever it is, but you need some transport to get there. Right? So the transport wasn't the goal. The goal was what? Hajj. But without adat, and I'm talking of as life carries on, can you do your Hajj without a vehicle, without a transport? Can you do it? So that's why I say, don't count that support to be something irrelevant. You need that support. 99% of people, they need, maybe 1% that can do without it. But 99% has to have that support in order to reach there. You don't have the support, you can't reach. You got the support and you're going. Although that support wasn't the goal, but this is the habit that you become addicted to support, therefore you need it in order to reach there. See how it works. Right? So if you use your mind, then you'll find other support bases as well, right? You have wealth. Why you have wealth? That you can live comfortably. Right? Food, clothing, house, all that. Right? So the wealth is the means to that end, right? It's the means to that end. If someone already got that, then does he need all the wealth? He's got all comfort, every type of comfort he's got. Clothing, food, shelter, whatever you can think of, he's got it. So does he need the wealth? He doesn't need it, right? Now, this type of person, one in a million will get, isn't it? But the normal person, he needs that wealth to get there. So don't count that support to be something irrelevant, something that is insignificant. You need that in order to get there. Though it is not the goal. Though it's not the goal, but adat, and that's the adat, that's the way that in order to get there, you need this. So therefore, you don't consider this to be insignificant. Right? Now this was a preamble, it's an introduction to what was read today. Mawlana Ismail Sahab is the father of Mawlana Yahya Sahab and Mawlana Ilyas Sahab, right? So he's their father, Mawlana Ismail Sahab. So Mawlana Ismail Sahab, he consulted with Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He says that, you see now, I'm getting a little bit aged. In other things of deen, I have acquired knowledge, etc. I have acquired. But in the practices of the Sufis, I haven't done much. So I want to gain some of that as well. Because in other things, I have, alhamdulillah, I've excelled. But in this, I haven't excelled, so I need something in that regard as well. So Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali, for the moment he pondered, and then he says to him, that do you have ihsan? See, I explained two things, modesty, one, right, and contentment, right? So that's a yardmark of being conforming, of conformity, right? Modesty and contentment, right? So Mawlana asked him that you want to excel in this as well, but I want to ask you one thing. aapko nisbate ihsan hasil hai ya nahi, do you have this ihsan, this feature of ihsan, do you have it? So his reply was that alhamdulillah, in all my life I was very punctual on all the masnoon zikrs, you know, do this in the morning, in the afternoon, at tahajjud, before namaz, after namaz, entering the masjid, getting out of the masjid. So all those zikrs that were prescribed in the hadith, I was very, very punctual. And I did it with heart and soul. So with the blessings of the prescribed masnoon du'as that I was so particular about, alhamdulillah, I have this. This continuous feeling of the presence of Allah, I do have it. So one is just to read those du'as and to read them just as a routine, you know, adat as a routine. But one is to read those du'as with life. See, so one is you read the du'as, but as a routine, and one is you read those du'as, but with life, you know, understanding that this what it will bring you to. You understand what this will bring you to. So isn't there a difference? Right. So there's a difference to do it with that frame of mind that this will bring you this. You will work differently. You will think differently. Right. So in this day and time, this is our problem, that we do things as a routine. Right. So we don't do it with that frame of mind that this action will bring about this result. This action will bring about this result. We don't do it with that frame of mind. So for example, you're reciting Surah Yasin, right? So with the frame of mind that this is the heart of the Quran Sharif, this will bring me 10 Quran Sharif reward, right? It will make all my affairs for the day easy, right? Or for example, you're reciting أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيلْ عَلِيمْ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ and the dua after that, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّهُ to the end. But now with that frame of mind, that I'll have 70,000 malaika making dua for me. So I'm reading, for example, Sayyidul Istighfar, right? With that frame of mind that if I die now, inshallah, I'll go straight to Jannah, right? So with that frame of mind, one is just doing it as a routine now, kind of. One is to do it with that frame of mind, that this will bring about this return, number one. And number two, to also recite, taking cognizance of the meaning of the words. See, like you're coming to the masjid, right? So as you came to the masjid, you're saying Bismillah, by the name of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, thinking to yourself, it's only the grace of Allah Ta'ala that enabled me to be in the masjid. It wasn't the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I wouldn't have been here. So with that frame of mind, see, grace of Allah Ta'ala. I say this quite often, to do a menial job, any menial job, provided it's halal, it's not embarrassing and not disgraceful. Look at the Sahaba Kiram, they did all simple jobs, simple, in our eyes it seemed to be menial. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged, comes in Bukhari Sharif, encouraged giving sadaqah. The Sahaba Kiram at that time had nothing, absolute nothing. So they say we would act as porters, carrying people's weights, delivering them, and whatever we acquired, we should give it out in sadaqah. Right. So doing that work that seems to be menial in the sight of people is not embarrassing, is not disgraceful. Right. If the Sahaba-i-Kiram could do it, then why should we feel it's a menial job? So this person is pious. Pious means he's regular in his namaz. And in order to do a living, he's a porter. In India, it's a little bit derogatory. They call it a kuli, right? So outwardly, it seems to be something that is menial. He's doing this job. A man bought a whole parcel of fish. He wants a porter to help him to take it home. So this person offered, I'll do it. This is the price, and I will do it. So, agreed. En route to the home, he's listening to the azan. So the porter says, the boss, that see, is the call of Allah Ta'ala, If you want to take another potter, you can take. And if you want to wait, you can wait. But I can't delay my namaz. So now I'll wait outside the masjid. Now, namaz is over, and the musallis, after the namaz, they are coming out. One person, second person. Gradually the whole masjid is empty. But this potter is not coming out. That boss is becoming impatient. What happened? The whole masjid is out, you're not out. So he's shouting, "Bhai, niklo, aao, come out." So this potter is saying, "Oh, nikalne nahi deta." He's not allowing me to come out. He's saying, "Niklo," and the potter is saying, "Nikalne nahi deta." Who is not allowing you to come out? He says, "Jo tujhe andar aane nahi de raha hai, mujhe nikalne nahi deta." The one that is not allowing you to come in is not allowing me to come out. So he must have been reading namaz, coming to the masjid with that frame of mind. See, he conditioned his mind according to the house of Allah Ta'ala, Bismillah. See, so that Bismillah is read with that frame of mind. So every dua is read with that frame of mind, and then it brings you that constant feature of the presence of Allah Ta'ala. He's been doing it for years. Every dua, tahajjud time, namaz time, mornings, evenings, whichever time. Then he's saying, "Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah." Coming to the masjid, "Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah." So this is also a very great weakness, in this day. See, Shaitan attacks the door of shukr. La tajidu aktharahum shakirin. He wants to attack someone and he wants to smash someone down. He smashes him through being ungrateful. Gratitude is in two levels, primarily to Allah Ta'ala. And after Allah Ta'ala, then the means that brought you there, you be grateful to them. Anishkulli wali walidayk. The Quran says, be grateful to me and your parents. So the parents are the means. So you will not tell them, "No, hey, Allah Pak made me, Allah Ta'ala did everything for me, so what you are?" No. Allah Pak wants that you remember and you appreciate the means. So whatever favor you've got, and you get the favor through a means. So to show gratitude. So this blessing of Islam was through the intermediary of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So as we came in, we remembered him as well. Let's see, because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, today we have got the privilege, the honor of performing namaz. If it weren't for him, for his du'as, for his encouragement, for his targheeb, for his efforts, then we wouldn't have been here today. So therefore we can't forget him. At this important point, we can't forget him. The little bit comfort that you get from your wife, right? Then what don't you do? Got some comfortable food, good sleep, good house. So what don't you do? All right, this investment for you. Going for Umrah, so you must be Ud, right? And that jewelry of yours is got a little bit outdated now. We'll trade in for something new. Don't you appreciate? The only person that you find to appreciate in the world nowadays is the wife. Father is gone. Everybody is forgotten. So the only person is the wife. See that? But she is the one that does. Allah Pak does. Right? But why you appreciate so much? You know what you're getting out of it. So you show all that. But she's just a medium. So Nabi Sallam is the main medium for all these comforts. So you don't forget him. The most important points, you don't forget it. So Shaitan attacks you at these two doors. One is the door of shukr. He attacks you. So when you slip on that, then you're slipping right through. So now you're coming to the masjid. Then you say, "Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi waftah li abwaba rahmatik." I'm so honored today to be in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, like you honored me, now forgive me as well. That will be the greatest thing. Before I come and talk to you, Allah Ta'ala, forgive, cleanse me. So I'm in the right state of talking to you, because I cleanse myself physically by doing wuzu. Physically I cleanse myself by wuzu. Now I need you to cleanse me spiritually as well. All the dirt that I've got. So see now, he's doing all his dua with this frame of mind. "Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi waftah li abwaba rahmatik," right? And open the doors of mercy for me. Normally, in the word of the Quran Sharif, when rahmat is used, then it's used for things pertaining to deen. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. So what is rahmat here? Quran or the sunnah? Right? So anything that is related to deen, in most part, not all the part, but most part of the Quran refers to deen. Right? So open to me all the parts of your deen. From here right to Jannah. Open all the parts. Make it available, make it accessible, so I can progress, I can go to the, I can escalate into the higher levels of Jannah. So open those doors of mercy that I can escalate. Then he comes in, he's practicing all the sunnahs, small sunnahs. As he comes in to the masjid, how does he behave? If he sees someone in the masjid, then he's making assalamu alaikum. If that person is not engaging in zikr, tilawat, namaz, ta'aleem, then you're making salam. With a smiling face, not with a pulled up face, right? Please. You can cry, but individually. You're crying for the love of Allah Ta'ala, or for the fear of Allah Ta'ala, individually. Don't show everyone that you're crying for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Right? So you can't cry, I say, don't cry, but do it separately. Now here, you saw someone, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, bhai? In the top masjid, we had one, two chachas. As you come in, they got atar, they're applying the atar for you. That one man, he moved away. I think his uncle Babu or something, he moved away. But as you come in Fajr time, then he's got his atar, he'll be supplying. So aren't you being so well received at the entrance of the house of Allah Ta'ala? And sometimes you don't need it, but you admire the man's gesture of kindness. Although you don't need it. But now look at his gesture of kindness, and you'll be received in the house of Allah Ta'ala like this. So all this thing is adding up. See, the small sunnahs, it's all adding up. The smile, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Right? You don't have to get into a deep conversation. Sometimes you may just get into a controversy. So just, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? So, right. Then, the fifth sunnah then, after you meet salam, then if it is not a makruh time, then you read two rakats of Tahiyatul Masjid. It's not a makruh time. Right? Then, the seventh sunnah thereafter is, you'll occupy the front rows. Right? Come and occupy the front rows. Because the hadith says, Allah Ta'ala's special mercy is descending on the people that come to and occupy the front rows. As though you're impressing, you can't say impressing, as though you're showing Allah Ta'ala that I am a genuine recipient, I need to be a genuine recipient for your mercy. For the du'as, I need it. I need most, more than everybody else. Imagine when you're coming in with that frame of mind, coming in front. Why? Because Allah's mercy is coming there. So Allah, I want to line up quickly there. But now, if you're sitting right in the back there, what are you showing to Allah? You're showing some type of an attitude. Allah, all right, those people need your mercy. I'm all right. I got my investment, my property. You know. They need it. I don't need it. Can you show that attitude to Allah? Can't show that. No matter where you are, you need to show desperation to Allah Ta'ala. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with a lot of wealth, lots of wealth. So once he's bathing, and golden locust just rained upon him. And he's accumulating it. So Allah asks, Alam ughunika, haven't I given you enough? O Ayyub, haven't I given you enough that you're accumulating this? He says, Wala ghina anka. Everything that is material, we can say we don't need. But your gifts, we can't say we independent. We need it. Small or the big. Everything of yours, we genuinely need. La ghina anka. So now see the frame of mind is coming in. Coming to the first row. Then whilst he's coming, he's not pushing himself into the first row. There's a place, sitting nicely. He's comfortable and he's keeping other people coming. Oh, please, somehow squeeze, push yourself in the front. No. not crossing anybody, not squeezing and making other people uncomfortable. Right? Not talking and disturbing someone. Right? Not reading loudly, that the next person will be disturbed. You reading Quran Sharif, he's reading namaz, he's making zikr. Right? So if you read loudly, won't you disturb him? You're going to disturb him. So you're reading, but audibly to yourself, not to others. Right? So no disturbance. A masjid, friendly, a loving environment, a friendly and a loving environment. So maintain the ambience of the masjid, loving, keep the two words, what? Loving and friendly environment. So if it's going to be a loving and a friendly environment, won't it be peaceful? So Mu'az says that I've been doing all this, every dua and every sunnah, I've been practicing it. And because of me practicing the sunnah with this frame of mind, therefore, alhamdulillah, I have that constant feature of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Mu'az tells him, then you don't need to get into the practices of Sufis. Because you're asking now that you need to do their practices, then it is like a person, somehow he learned to recite the Quran Sharif without, what, part one is meant? Huh? Yes, Sunnah al-Quran and part one and all, right? We should say Qaida Baghdadi our times. So that words are a little bit unfamiliar. Takti, Vishnu, Takti, and now everything is changed, right? So now he's reciting the Quran nicely with Tajweed and all, but he didn't go through this. Right? So he says, no, hey, but you know what? I didn't learn this just Sunnah al-Quran, now put me back. He said, but you're already there now, you don't need to go. If you already a doctor, you didn't go to grade one, for example. You don't have to go to grade one again. You're already there now. Allah Bakhtar.